Chapter 40, Evie. Evie had no idea how or why the spy had targeted her. But if there was any hope of saving her father, surely she had to take it. After leaving Lyssa tucked into her bed under the care of their family friend, Evie tied her white cloak about her shoulders, trying not to fiddle with the butterfly pins, pulling back different sections of her hair. Briar's Peak was on the other end of town, the end good people from the village tried to avoid. Despite its lovely view over Renadon, it was far too close to Hickory Forest. But since Evie had nothing to fear from the villain, she walked along the outskirts of town nearest the forest without worry, striding toward Briar's Peak, passing a tree and standing underneath a lantern in the corner of the square. Evie rubbed her temples, careful not to smudge the makeup she'd put around her eyes. "Reckless, you are reckless, Evie Sage," she sighed as she slumped against the bark, her heart racing, as her gaze tried to make out any shapes in the dark. Not for the first time since setting off on this adventure tonight, she wondered if she should have contacted the villain. Truth be told, she half expected her boss to appear anyway, the way he'd done a few days ago when she was feeling deflated and a little defeated. Besides, even if she wanted to get a hold of him, it's not like she could send a messenger pigeon at this hour. Their office is closed before sundown. She looked down to the gold band around her smallest finger. What good is an employment bargain if you can't talk to the person who has employed you? She stared hard at her finger, willing the mark to obey.
Evie?
The familiar voice made Evie smile. She turned to face Blade Gushikin, the lantern illuminating his tan skin and the light blue satin vest, for once sitting against the fabric of a shirt, a white one. She walked over to him and punched his arm lightly. "Why are you lurking in the dark tonight?" Evie noted the emptiness of the space around him. "You didn't bring Fluffy, did you?" Blade chuckled and straightened his vest.
"No, I did not bring Fluffy. Gods help the poor creature. Although the name seems to suit him, in a ridiculous, you've been hit in the head sort of way."
Her favorite way.
"You got one of these too, huh?"
There was a crinkling sound as he pulled out a gold-foiled envelope, the paper, the telltale craftsmanship of merfolk-made parchment. Relief filled her that she hadn't been the only one singled out by the spy. It was never good to wish someone the same pain or discomfort you were feeling, but it was always very nice to not be alone with it. Evie adjusted one of the pins in her hair when the wind knocked a curl loose, holding out her arm. "Shall we?" He smiled wide before linking their arms, and they continued down the path together.
"Do you think anybody else received an invitation?"
"No, because the world obviously revolves around you two." The sardonic voice was scathing and comforting in the most confusing conflict of emotions. "What did I do to deserve this?" Evie asked the sky as Becky stepped into the light. Her brown hair was down from her usually tight coiffure, gently curling just past her shoulders. A soft pink dress swirling into roses at the hem sat delicately against her light brown skin. A delicate flush of the same pink appeared at her cheeks when she saw Blade's blatant appraisal. "I was about to ask you the same thing," Becky said, adjusting her glasses on her nose, another gilded envelope sitting between her fingers. "I suppose you both got one of these as well?" "We did." Evie frowned, noticing the writing at the top of Becky's invitation. "What does that say?" Becky handed it to her reluctantly. "To Rebecca Ehring. Looking for a cure? Briar's Peak. Tonight. Dress for a formal celebration hosted by the Core Healer. This invitation permits one person and one person only. She handed it back to Becky, and they glanced at each other with knowing expressions before looking away.
It would appear whoever left us these sought to lure us with individually compelling reasons,
Blade said, studying and then holding out his invitation for both to see. Both angling their heads closer, Evie and Becky looked at the invitation Blade held. To Blade Gushikin, Briar's Peak, tonight. Dress for a formal celebration hosted by the Core Healer. This invitation permits one person and one person only. That's it? Evie pulled the invitation closer, reading it over one more time to be sure. Yours doesn't have a reason the way mine and Becky's do. Why would you come at all, then? Blade shrugged, looking sheepish.
It said celebration, so I thought there would be free food.
Becky shook her head at him. You are a reprobate. She smoothed her invitation carefully. This is obviously a ploy to get us all to this place. I say we go inform the boss immediately. Evie urged them both to the side of the gravel path, hidden from view of prying eyes. We're almost there. We may as well go investigate whatever this is together, and then report back to the boss what we find. I don't like it, Becky grumbled, uncomfortably pulling at the sleeves of her dress.
Shocking,
Blade smiled, offering each woman an arm. Evie wrapped her hand around his upper arm, and Becky stomped forward beside them, refusing to meet either of their eyes. We're walking right into a very obvious trap, she grumbled, pushing the hood of her cloak up over her head.
True, but at least we know that going in,
Blade said, then raised one brow at Becky.
Why are you even here if you thought it could be a trap? Why didn't you take that right to the boss?
Rebecca looked for a moment like a cornered animal before glancing away. Because there was a chance it wasn't. And I had to know. Evie smiled sympathetically, showing her invitation to Becky. Me too. Becky nodded stiffly.
Do you think anyone else from the office received one? We're about to find out, Blade said,
gesturing to the glow of light and noise coming from farther into the wooded path.
It seems the festivities have already begun.
It was the first time Evie had heard the word festivities as a threat. In fact, it sounded a bit like death.